I think we should start with some prayer. So why don't you join me? Father, you are big. And I've heard that word about you my whole life and just thought of you as like a giant. And then I saw the ocean and saw the ocean touch the sky in the distance and thought, you are big. And I saw the world from an airplane and thought, you're really big. And I look in the stars and think, you're bigger than big. There is no measurement to your everything. You're immeasurable. From your sovereignty to your power to your grace to your mercy to your love to your faithfulness to your forgiveness, you are immeasurable. We come to church every Sunday and we go to Bible study and Sunday school and pray in the mornings and read our Bibles and we do these things and we try to like measure you, Father, and we try to like contain you in this box where you make sense to us instead of letting you just be immeasurable. And instead of putting you in a box so we can understand you, help us to step out of the box and out of the idea of measuring you and just be blown away. So this morning, Father, help us to just see you in a way that blows us away. And then help us to see how we, your creation, fit into who you are. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So before my sabbatical, I needed, I think, several things, and I'll save you a, you know, I could spend an endless number of weeks telling you what I learned, what I went through, what I felt, what I heard, what I read, what I wrote, what I discovered, you know, all, there's just so many lessons that you can imagine I could gain in 10 weeks. But there was one thing that I heard a lot before I went, and that was, Mark, you need rest and rejuvenation. And yes, absolutely. Don't we all? I mean, isn't that like the first thing God did when he was done creating was rested? And he didn't even need it, so obviously we need rest. But there was something else that I needed that I didn't know I needed till I was on sabbatical and realized that I was struggling with it and said, ah, there's my problem. And it is never that simple where it's like, oh, it's just this problem, and if I just fix it, everything just works in life, right? It's never that simple. Everything's always complicated in life. And so that thing that I needed to learn about and discover was my identity, like who I am, right? And I think we would all agree as believers, if you're a Christian, you would agree that my identity is in Christ. You've heard me say it from the pulpit. I've been preaching it for, you know, whatever, 10 years. You know, my identity is in Christ. I'm in Christ. And I believe that and I know it. And I know what that looks like. And I know what verses to read. And it makes sense to me. But they're really just words until you begin to discover some unhealthy habits, which I had. And just so you're aware, I still have unhealthy habits. I did not become perfect on my sabbatical, so which actually was one of my unhealthy habits, was thinking, all right, now that I know what my problem is, I got like 8 weeks to fix it, I can come back and I will present to church with the perfect Pastor Mark. And they'll be like, oh, such a good use of your sabbatical. And I'd be like, I know. So, and then a few more weeks that I was like, oh, I'm never going to get there. So, I saw a problem with me, many problems, and with understanding who I am in Christ. That's just really what it came down to for me. And ultimately, like, the reason that I needed a sabbatical was because of that. And at the time, I'd have told you, I'm just like, I'm burnt too crisp. Like, I got nothing left. And we made the announcement after church, so I couldn't even talk about it to you before we made it. So, I've even like thought, how much do I explain to the congregation now? I don't think there's a lot of explanation needed, okay? But I'll just say what I discovered was how badly I needed to think about who I am in Christ. And a lot of the unhealthy habits that I was practicing, which led to me being utterly exhausted and burning out, was because of my sinful nature that struggled with my identity in Christ. And then some outside factors that exposed that, and that just, I wasn't healthy enough to really manage it the best way that I should have. And thank the Lord for awesome elders who stand by my side and support me. And so, thank you guys. Best elders in the world. So, and then just to know that, like, I could completely trust you as a congregation. That was, just walking away for that long. Man, I'm a control freak. If you know me well enough, you know that I am. And letting go is just, you know what? Look what you guys did without me. So don't ever tell me that you can't do anything, okay? You've done a lot, and it's proof that the church never, ever is dependent on one pastor or one shepherd or one human. This is the church of Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. He is the head. He's the cornerstone. He's all that we need. I'm just a conduit that's just here every week, bringing you his word and shepherding you and just being like Christ. So thank you, first of all, for just giving me a chance to discover these things. And I want to share with you some of what I discovered. And I think that what I discovered about myself, we all deal with. Absolutely. On different levels and in different ways. So, prior to closing the daycare, God had been working on me. Really, really tough, too. And used a close friend of mine to expose some of my, some of my sinful nature. And God was teaching me what a healthy Mark Barlow is supposed to be like, and that a healthy Mark Barlow stands firm on his convictions to his loyalties, and my loyalty is to God and his church. And I love the daycare, but my conviction and my loyalty was you and God and this church and the advancement of the kingdom through the church, not through anything else, not through a different organization, but through the church. And so, prior to closing daycare, I was like, this is going to push back against my sinful nature to want to be praised, because I have the unhealthy habit of being a people pleaser, and I like to garner praise so that I can avoid my fear of being not valued or unworthy. Okay, that's just me. And that's who I am, and that's one of the things that I knew going into the daycare, and I knew closing the daycare was going to produce something the opposite of praise, criticism, and it did. and lots of it, and way more than I had expected. So I kind of felt a little blindsided by that, and I have been spending my life building up this, I need people to like me. that's just who I am, guys. That's just, I need people to like me, and I shouldn't need people to like me. But that's where I'm at. And when lots and lots and lots of people, when you're depending on that to be liked and praised, to feel value, and then lots and lots of people go, we don't like you, you all of a sudden just don't feel valued. That's where I was at. And that was my crushing point. And so that ultimately, I think, led to my exhaustion, some sort of a, I don't know, I hate to use the word crisis, but like an identity crisis, like an identity struggle, more like, right? I know who Christ is, but I realize on my sabbatical that I don't really know who I am if I'm not being loved by everybody, or if I'm not like your sunshine in your life, if I can't dazzle you or get attention, like I know that about myself. And if you know me, you know that's what I'm like. So there is a way for me to be a healthier version. There's a healthier version of me, okay? And so as I'm discovering these things in my sabbatical, I kind of, like I said earlier, I'm kind of like, oh, okay, now I know what the problem is. And now I know how to fix it. Now I just have to, you know, get ready and fix myself and come back to church in October, and I'll be like a way better version of me, and people will be like, oh, you're so awesome now. Look how amazing you are now. And I'm like, yeah, I'm got healthier, so this is, you know, and I'm like, that's not healthier. That's still me presenting a version of me that gets you to like me. That's the habit. And some of you probably relate. Okay, if you're like me, some of you may relate to that. Some of you are like, I don't struggle with that at all, so I don't even know what you're talking about. That's okay, we'll get to you later. I'm not kidding, we are. We're gonna get to all of you. I was at, you know, halfway through my sabbatical, I'm like, you know, the reality is that me becoming that perfect version of my true self, where I am at my healthiest, that's a lifelong journey. Duh, right? There's never going to be a day when I can present Grace Church or any of my family members or anybody I love or anyone I meet on the streets with this perfect version of myself, right? And I've been trying to do that my whole life. And I'm just like, you know what? Some point, I'm going to be really comfortable with me just being who I am, and that's going to be enough. I know who I am. Christ knows who I am. That's all I need to know. Period. And I'm not there right now. I'm just honest with you. I know it here, but I've got habits that I've built for 37 years, and those habits really like to make me look great, not Christ. So, lifelong journey, I'm not perfect yet, neither are you, but there is something underneath all of this that makes me behave that way, okay? And part of that is, I think a big part of it is fear. Fear is creating kind of this false version of ourselves, right? And our fear is keeping us from our real needs, and I want to help you discover those fears. So as I prayed about writing this sermon, three things stood out for me. One, I want to help you discover your true self. That's not going to happen in one sermon, okay, but this is a process. And your true self is a mix, okay? So there's you. There's distinctly unique you. There is no one in the world like you, ever. You're a snowflake. Okay, you are, I've always hated that analogy. Then I've heard preachers use the snowflake analogy. I'm like, actually, you're not that special. But the reality is you are uniquely, distinctly you. There has never, ever been a you, and there never will be. Like, the creative mind of God to create the, I don't know, 100 billion people that have ever existed in the universe ever, plus how many ever will continue to, I mean, every second there's, you know, whatever, a certain number of children being born constantly. All of those seconds, God has created a unique human being out of billions and billions of unique, distinct, different human beings with different minds. It just, that alone is mind-blowing. The mind of God to have that capacity to have an endless number of personalities and faces and traits and combinations that he could create. So there's no one like you, okay? And for believers, that unique, distinct you is blended with Christ. And that version of you is the real you. That's the truest form of you. Now, you're not living in that truest form yet. None of us are, because we have a sin nature that is kind of, you know, murking up the waters and creating this bad version of ourselves, this false version of ourselves, where the true version of ourselves will culminate in the presence of Christ with new bodies and totally redeemed everything. That will be our truest, healthiest, fullest self. Until then, this is what you get. And we're working toward that perfection. And the only way we can work toward that perfection is when that true, unique self is blended with Christ. Because there are non-Christians who have a unique and true self that doesn't have Christ. And it will never, they will never reach their truest form that they could be if they had Christ and they could be perfected. So, our life is, I mean, that's what we talk about when we talk about transformation, spiritual growth. That's Christ, the Holy Spirit. We become one with Christ. We are in Christ. That's our new identity. And then the Holy Spirit turns us into Christ, but distinctly and uniquely you. Like, when we think about being in heaven forever, eternally spending eternity with each other and in heaven, are we all going to be like Jesus robots? Like, we're all just like Jesus. It's not going to be like that. Right? We're all going to be individual still. Like, I will still be me, but the perfected version in Christ. It is mind-blowing to me to even consider how God could create that many unique, distinct personalities. Mix them with Christ, and they're all perfectly identical in Christ-likeness, in his nature and perfections, and in his character, and every one of us uniquely distinct and different. Unbelievable. And in heaven, we will celebrate both of those realities in joy. And not just celebrate both those realities, but celebrate the diversity and the unification. And not just celebrate them, but then celebrate that they work together. That's what heaven is. That's going to be one of the endless things we just love and celebrate in heaven. So I want to, that was one thing I discovered. Another thing I wanted to teach you today is I want you to discover your deepest fear. Whether you will or will not today, I don't know. But I want to expose some fears and hope they resonate with you and start working out of our unhealthy habits and our unhealthy fears and working toward health. So I believe that what I went through in my sabbatical, what I'm still learning today and what I will continue to learn about myself and grow into is meant for you, right? It's meant for me and it's meant for you. I'm supposed to be teaching you the things that I go through and learn and struggle with too. So let's go together. With that, we'll start. That was the introduction, believe it or not. We'll start in Colossians 3:3. Paul says, "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So, I've preached this to you before, this concept of us wearing masks, not really being our true selves, right? That mask that we wear is called an ego, right? So we all have this ego that creates this mask that we wear, and it's a product of our sinful nature, okay? It's our sin, and that mask is that false self, not really you, protecting your true self, which would be your healthiest self, from your greatest fear. So we put on a mask, we wear that mask because it helps our true self not have to face our fears. And our fears just don't show up in the ways that we expect them to. So I'm gonna list some fears, okay? I'm gonna read this list, and I want you to try to identify if any of them resonate with you. And I have a feeling that most of you are gonna be like, nah, maybe, yeah, that one, maybe, I don't know, a little bit here or there. Or, no, not really. But bear with me. So just listen to this list. Tell me, I want you to think, if one of them clicks with you, or you think maybe a few of them do, write it down in your notes, okay? So your greatest fear may be not being perfect, or being wrong, or being unloved, or like me, feeling not valuable or unworthy, okay? Maybe it's losing control, or maybe you fear being in pain or deprived of things, or you fear losing stuff, not just stuff, but losing, the fear of all kinds of forms of loss, or the fear of being alone, or being without guidance, or the fear of being useless, or the fear of being helpless, or the fear of having no significance. So whatever your fear is, your ego or your mask has spent your entire lifetime creating unhealthy habits to avoid that fear. Right? And that's what I'm telling you is happening. You know, is what I'm realizing is I've got a lifetime of unhealthy habits to break. And here's the problem. I still have a sinful nature that's going to keep making new unhealthy habits that I need to be protecting myself from. So I got to be aware of unhealthy habits I'm going to create, try to avoid creating them. Unhealthy habits I've created, try to break them. And that's a really hard balance. That's a lifelong journey right there. That'll take forever. Until Christ just finally goes, fixed, and gives us our redeemed bodies. Now, some of you might be thinking that you know, those aren't really, none of those are really my, I don't really fear any of those things. Like, you might be thinking, you know what I fear? I fear nothing you just read. I fear talking to people in social settings. See, the thing is, something like that, that's a symptom of a deeper fear. Okay? There's a deeper fear that causes you to fear something else. Right? So talking to people or having anxiety, those things, those are symptoms. And usually what we identify as fears are actually symptoms of a much deeper rooted fear. And the results are we facing, and these are some of the symptoms, the results or these symptoms are things like anxiety, depression, irritability, irrationality, aggression, apathy, clinginess, being scatterbrained, being arrogant, critical, cynical, secretive, worried. Any of those words make you uncomfortable? A few of them make me uncomfortable. And those are just symptoms. And those are just some symptoms of our fears. And so they're just red flags. And that's not who we're meant to be. Like, we look at these things and say, well, I've just always been scatterbrained. No, that's not okay. That's not who you're made to be. Okay? I've always just been cynical. That's not okay. That's a problem that comes from a much deeper place, right? And we want to get to that place. So these are characteristics that are not healthy, and they're warning signs that we're not putting on the new self that is distinct and unique and redeemed in Christ. And the solution is in Colossians 3, 9 through 10. Colossians 3, 9 through 10. And Paul says, put off the old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. So we've got our old self, that's our sinful nature. And we've got our new self, that's our identity in Christ. Okay? And that mask we wear is the old self. It's like a dead old self. And we like walk up and carve the face off and stick it back on our face. We're like, this is who I am. It's like, that's the old you. It's a dead you. So Colossians 3:3 says, you have died. And we go back to our corpse. We rip off the face and we're like, but I like the way this one looks on me. We stick it on our new self and we wear that mask like it's who we are. And guess what? Believe it or not, if you're wearing a different face, it looks kind of ugly. Right? A little less attractive. Okay? So, clearly, we wear this mask to protect ourselves. And this is this old self is dead. And that's why Paul keeps saying, put it off. Put it off. Get rid of it. Stop wearing it. Like, it's still available for us to pick from. Right? And we pick up the face and we wear the face. And Paul's like, put the face back down, get rid of it, throw it away, okay? And put on the new face. That's the face of Christ. That's the distinct and unique face of you and your face, your soul, your character, your person blended with Christ. And Paul's basically saying, work on that self. You are still wearing the dead self. And so, when I read Colossians 3:3 during my sabbatical, it was like a light at the end of a dark tunnel. I was just like, I felt like yes, that was what I needed to read. That was what I needed to hear. And I saw like whatever identity thing I was dealing with, it's solved in one verse. I am no longer alive. My life is hidden in Christ, or with Christ in God. Now, that's a good distinction there. With Christ in God. Because God's the one who's hiding, and he's hiding us with Christ. So Christ is hidden, we're hidden with him. What does that mean? What does it mean that I've died? It means that my sinful nature is defeated, right? Verses 9 and 10, I just read. The old self no longer rules me, and I have a new self that I should be wearing. And that old self, that dead self, is that mask that we keep wearing. So with my old self dead, what is my new self? Jesus. He's the new self, right? I mean, he's the goal. He's the purpose. He's what we want to become. Okay, so Galatians 2:20 is like a parallel passage to Colossians 3:3. He says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. Okay, that's just like Colossians 3:3. I am no longer, I have died. I've been crucified with Christ, or Colossians 3:3, I have died. Galatians 2:20, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Just like Colossians 3:3, my life is hidden with Christ in God. So I'm not dead, right? My old self, my sinful nature is dead. Now I have a new life, and that identity of that life is hidden with Christ in God. It is Christ who lives in me, lives for me, and listen to this, lives as me. So, our identity being hidden with Christ in God is a huge concept here, because it's not the first time that Paul mentions hiding something in Colossians. So, in Colossians 2:3, he says, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ. Colossians 1:26, he says that the gospel, which he calls the mystery, is hidden, was hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. Okay, so we have three things in Colossians, and then, chapter 3, verse 3, our very life is hidden with Christ in God. So we have three things in Colossians that God has hidden and then revealed. Number one, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Number two, the gospel. And number three, your life or your identity in Christ. And there is significance in the fact that these three things are hidden. So I'm going to give you three reasons God hides things, okay? Three reasons God hides things. Number one, that which God hides, he values. That which God hides, he values. We put most of our valuable items in secure locations, right? Safes, banks, right? We hide them and we protect them because they're valuable to us. We know God values wisdom and knowledge. He is wisdom and knowledge. He wrote an entire book about wisdom and knowledge, right? We know he values it. And he's, in Colossians 2:3 says it's hidden. We know God values the gospel because the gospel is the revelation of God himself, right? And Colossians 1:26 says that he hid the gospel. So he hides wisdom and knowledge and the gospel, and those things are therefore valued, those things are valuable to him. Therefore, we also know that God values us because he hides us with Christ. And Christ is God's greatest value. The Father's greatest value is the Son. He hides us with the Son, associating us to the Son. And then we're hidden with Christ in God, placing the same value as Christ. Therefore, we are valuable to God. So that which God hides, he values. So your life, your identity, who you are, is valuable. Number two, God revealing these hidden things reveals God's value. So God revealing these hidden things reveals not just our value, but his value. These three hidden things are not valuable in and of themselves. They're valuable because they are revelations of God himself. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge is a revelation of God as the treasure that is found in true wisdom and true knowledge. And he reveals himself as worthy and valuable of being treasured. Okay, and the mystery, which is hidden for ages, which is the gospel, the good news that God is the ultimate worthy and ultimately valuable thing, being. So, if the revelation of hidden things reveals the value of God, then the revelation of our life in Christ is meant to convey God's value through your life. And therefore, we now have value because we're in Christ. And God displays his value through us. Now, number three. I think number three is a game changer, okay? Number three, God hiding and revealing your identity with Christ defeats your greatest fear. God hiding and then revealing your identity with Christ defeats your greatest fear. Now, notice something. Numbers 1 and 2. I told you about God's what and about our what? Value. Okay? I have just finished telling you that my biggest fear is that I wouldn't feel valuable. So is it any surprise that I would reach into Scripture and talk about our fears and that my first thing would be value? Right? Isn't it? It just makes sense that as I preach on our identity that I would look for value, and undoubtedly I would find through Scripture that God is most valuable, and that when I find my value in being knit into Christ and inheriting his value and then thus getting my identity in Christ and my life being hidden in Christ defeats my greatest fear of not feeling valuable. So it's no surprise that somebody whose greatest fear is to not feel value would then create a sermon that points you to God's value and our value. Right? Now, that's true no matter who you are, right? Numbers 1 and 2, your life is hidden with Christ and God. That gives you value. That's true of you. Okay? And number 2, God revealing these hidden things shows God's value. That's true no matter who you are. But I know that not everyone necessarily can relate to that need. Like, that speaks volumes to me because I know what I struggle with. And many of you might be thinking, it's true, it's great, it's just that doesn't really hit me deep where my hurt is. That doesn't really strike the chord for me. There's got to be some other way that this makes more sense for me. So I'm willing to bet two things. One of your deepest fears is on that list of fears I mentioned earlier. Okay? I'm willing to bet that. I'm willing to bet that all the fears I read earlier, that your greatest fear is really there on that list. And number two, I'm willing to bet that you don't know that. And maybe you do, maybe you don't. But I think it's very reasonable to assume that our bad habits and our attitudes and our behavior and our masking has masked or guarded us from that fear, and we don't even recognize that it's really the thing that is driving our sin life. So we may not even recognize it. Okay, you could have a deep fear of just really, I'm just afraid to be unloved, which means my deepest desire really is to just be loved. But you don't know that, but it shows up in a lot of different ways. Right? And we mask that behavior, and that fear masks that desire, and we just don't see the real fear. So it's normal if we don't recognize it right away. So what I want to do is, and we're going to do this next week, not today, because I'm not even halfway through this, and I'm 35 minutes into this. So next week, what I want to do is this. Those two sentences, okay, I want you to take the last part and just leave it blank. That which God hides, blank. And that God hiding and revealing, I'm sorry, God revealing these hidden things, blank. And I'm going to take all the other, that list of fears that I read for you, that I believe, that I would be willing to bet, your fear is on that list. We're going to take all of those fears and we're going to insert them into Numbers 1 and 2 and watch and see how all of a sudden your identity in life being hidden in God, with Christ and in God, is solved by, or all the, I'm sorry, let me back that, your fear that we're going to insert into Numbers 1 and 2 is conquered and defeated by your identity being hidden with Christ and in God. So if your fear is being unloved or being in pain, or your fear is being not having control, you can take those things and insert them. That which God hides, He controls. And what does that mean, and how does that defeat that fear? And how does my identity with Christ in God create the, I mean, actually conquering my fear and then getting my desire? And that's what we'll look at next week. So it's kind of like part two of this message. And I was aware that this might go longer than I expected, so I actually wrote stop really big with question marks after it, which means look at the clock and yes, Mark, stop. So I do just want to end by just saying thank you all for your endless support of my family and of me and your love towards us. We feel it, okay? And Shane came up to me and said, I hope you know that missed you, like if you're not getting that message. I'm like, oh, I'm getting it. Thank you. And again, to everyone who did the work over there, that's unbelievable. It's great job. Great way to come back. It's weird to walk in this room and there's no door there. It was weird, but I love it. So I want you to be the healthiest version of you. And that healthiest, that's a superlative, right? That healthiest version, you're not going to get in this life. So I want healthier, moving towards healthiest for you. And I believe that what God put me through in the last 10 weeks is meant for you. And I think it's important for you to realize that I am so far from where I need to be. This is not a, hey guys, I'm on the mountaintop, let me show you the journey I took. It's more like I'm, you know, crawling up the rocks and I keep slipping and I'm like, oh, watch out for that rock. And you're like, we're just there together going up this difficult mountain of discovering who are we in Christ. What does it look like to be in Jesus? If I, if I am unique and distinct, but I'm also supposed to be like Christ, what does that blend look like? So we're going to go through what I would say are 9 fears and discover how we can really get what we truly desire out of being in Christ and conquer those fears. So we'll finish that next week, and I pray that you will join us again. And one more thing, keep in mind, sticking around for a potluck after church. So would you please pray with me? Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for this church and their support of me and my family. I thank you so much for their, ultimately, what they're supporting is your church. I mean, you are the pillar and the foundation and the bedrock and the cornerstone, Jesus, but you bring in these people to make this church. They are building a church. And I pray that that physical construction in the other room is just a reminder to us that we are not just building a building, we are building the church. And that is a great example of growth. So bless these people. Show them, remind them, teach them your love. And we all have fears, Jesus. We all have struggles. We all have sinful, unhealthy habits, but you're working on us. So being that I am one of those people who are really, really have really bad, unhealthy habits, I pray that you would teach us to be gracious with each other as we try to navigate through our sinful nature on a boat of holiness that we just don't know how to steer sometimes. And when we crash into other people's holy boats with our unholy boats, I just pray that you would just be like, teach that person grace, and you would just help us be gracious to each other. Because we are all just wicked in our core, but redeemed and learning to be like you. So help us to love one another and be gracious. And thank you for the cross. In Jesus' name, amen.